So it's quite a famous story, isn't it? Moses and the burning bush. And I'd like you please to turn right to the end of the story, which is probably on the next page in your Bible, page 60. And we're going to have a look together, just first of all, at verse 18 that James just read to us. Verse 18. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt. So how did Moses get to the point where not only were the leaders of his own nation, Israel, going to listen to him and act on it, but they were all going to have the boldness to go and face the mighty and powerful leaders of the nation that was ruthlessly oppressing them? The answer is because Moses heard God speak and acted on it. And I want to talk to you today about how we can encounter God in our lives. So how can we encounter God in our lives? By looking for God in the ordinary, by making space and tuning in, and by being prepared to respond. First of all, someone who's sitting near you, I'd just like you to share, have you ever heard God speaking to you? And I don't mean just in an audible voice, but in any way. Just turn to your neighbour and have a quick chat about that. Can we have this?
It's not on.
Oh, it is on. Right, what sort of ways have we heard God speak then? Hands up if you can share one with all of us. What sort of ways? Hello.
Hello. It's weird really being here today, that's nice. About 10 years ago, I'd been quite poorly, and I went to a sort of Ecclesiology church service where I live nearby in Bristol, and I found out about slavery. And I was really, really shocked. And it was Stop the Traffic that actually told me, Trish, are you aware that slavery happens in the UK? And that I found cripplingly just dreadful. So I started to campaign. And Unchosen, 10 years later, is still around. I stood down 2 years ago. But it's something perhaps you could share in your church. We do it through film, and they're based on true case studies of forced labour, domestic servitude, mm-hmm. and sexual exploitation here in the UK.
Okay, so hearing that talk really changed your life.
It did, yeah.
Well, how else has God spoken to us? Don't be shy. Mary.
Well, it's many years ago, I was doing the hoovering.
Yeah.
And this
good.
Voice said, you're going to create this club.
A club?
And I did, and it lasted 2 years for people of 18 to 30. Discussion group.
That is fantastic. While she's doing the hoovering, please note. Alan?
When I was at Spring Harvest, someone said one of the group to go away and spend about an hour with God and just listening. Then ever since I can't stop hearing him.
Wow. So that was the beginning of something great. Okay. If you went to New Wine, and you've already agreed this with me, I'm not putting you on the spot, come up now, please. So, yes. Where did I put the thingy? Here we are. Let's go back. If you are not sure about this, New Wine is a Christian festival, and about 30 of us from St. Stephen's have just come back from a week camping. Yes, we camped, and we survived. And there we all are together. And some people have offered to just speak to us very briefly about how they encountered God last week. So can we start off with John and Sally? I'm holding this.
What a control.
Yeah, that's me.
Right. First of all, I'd like to say how Caroline has really scrubbed up well, because that New Wine, I thought, you're never going to look so grand
yeah,
again.
Get on with it.
Okay, right, well, The thing I want to be able to share with you, brothers and sisters, and I've got a very limited amount of time, is that basically what's happened is that when my reading this morning was from Psalm 71, and if you would like to read Psalm 71, there's a quote in there, and it says, "As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more." And I think one of the things, because so many things have happened over this week that's come out of it, is that the Lord has said to me, "No, we are the only people that I have. You are my people, and you're one of my people. Not me, I'm humbled. Everybody here in this church today. So what are you going to do about it? So I want you to go out there, and I want you to give people hope, just like this lady was saying. I want you to find a cause, whatever it is, however small you think it is, or however big it is, just give yourself to me and pray, and I will give it to you, and I will back you up, and I love you."
Thank you, terrific. Sally?
Each morning and evening, we worship together with about 1,000 people, and during the worship, I had a deep sense of the presence of God's Holy Spirit as we were singing the worship songs, which I found really moving, and I felt God's touch on my life, and in particular, a sense of his mercy. There was a song which we sang many times called "Mercy Triumphs Over Judgment," which is taken from James chapter 2, verse 13. And the challenge is for us to share God's mercy with people who don't know Jesus. So it's not just for us, it's for us to share.
Thank you. Alison?
Well, for a long time I felt that I was building this very small wall between myself and God. And on the last day when I was at a seminar about the Holy Spirit, God revealed to me what this wall was. And it just reminded me of, you know, how much God pours out his grace and mercy onto us. And I'm really excited about smashing this wall down with God and moving on.
Thank you. Fantastic. Jane?
Yes. I went to a seminar about bereavement, which is called "Living with Loss, the New Normal," which was, as the title it says, it was quite emotional and moving. And a couple got up and said their story about how they lost their child, and then a man got up and spoke about the loss of his wife very suddenly. Anyway, after it finished, the seminar was huge, probably the size of this church, and a woman who I'd never met before walked up from the other side and stood in front of me and just opened her arms, and we just sobbed together. That's how I encountered God.
Thank you. Chloe?
So I was on team, so I was looking after 750 5 to 7 year olds for the week, and I really encountered God when we had this ministry for children, and we as leaders had to kind of put our hands out to children and pray for them. And we prayed that the prophecy would come and that they would encounter the Holy Spirit, and their journey would kind of start here, and they could start building their friendship with God. And that was the real bond that I think I had these kids.
Thank you. I just think serving at New Wine has a real impact on the people who serve as well as the people they're helping. And Waywell?
Okay, I just want to say that this time, a new one, I went up a lot of occasions that I went up to the front to be prayed for, and I pray also for other people sometimes. I got a lot of prayers, and I think those prayers are very meaningful. And I think it's an equipment for me as well. I just want to say to the audience that New Wine is excellent, and if you want this nation to be changed, then you go to New Wine, because the local churches changes nation.
Yes, thank you. That's their strap line: local churches changing nations. So let's give them a clap for being brave enough to come up. Thank you.
So we've heard about lots of different ways people can encounter God in the ordinary times of life, at meetings, hearing talks, worshipping, through someone just speaking to us. It can happen in so many ways. But particularly, we're looking at Moses' story. So please flick back to verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Midian. The priest of Midian. Sounds like a fairly ordinary description. And out of context, there's nothing particularly unusual about it. But hold on a minute. Do you remember Moses' early life? Remember the story? He was put in a basket and sent down the river by his mother because his life was in great danger. He ended up being adopted by an Egyptian princess and growing up in the Pharaoh's palace. And he lived a life of privilege until one day he had to run away. This is years later now. He's living with a poor tribe, moving from place to place around a desert barren area, looking after someone else's sheep, not even his own. What a contrast to his life in the Pharaoh's palace. But while he's serving in this lowly position, he has a dramatic encounter with God. It's tempting to think that God is more likely to speak to holy people, those who've been Christians a long time, or perhaps a very good people. Not at all. Moses had murdered someone in a fit of rage and then had run away when he realized he'd been seen. Not exactly great on your CV. Now he's doing a job that the Egyptians that he'd grown up with considered to be the lowest of the low. In Genesis, in the story of Joseph, it says, "Shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." So he's tending his father-in-law's flock when he sees a bush that's on fire but isn't burning up. To see a bush on fire would not be unusual in such a hot climate. But this one isn't turning to the usual heap of smouldering ashes. It's not burning, which grabs Moses' attention, and he goes over to look. It's human nature to be curious, or as my daughter calls me, nosy. Have you ever been in a tailback on the motorway, only to discover that it was caused by people looking at the remains of an accident on the hard shoulder? Some of us, in fact, are so nosy that if we see someone famous, we like to get in the picture or in someone else's picture. Well, Moses, in his fairly mundane job, suddenly has something exciting to think about. Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When he does so, he hears God's voice, and God speaks to him, announces who he is, and explains that he knows and understands the situation that Moses is in and his people are in. And he's going to use him to do something about it. On the hillside that day, Moses could not have predicted that God himself would speak to him and inspire him and equip him to do something that in human terms was completely insane. Are we open to seeing God in strange or mundane places? At our kitchen sink? What were you doing, Mary? Were you doing the ironing, did you say? Oh, hoovering. Yep, hoovering. Making the coffee, mowing the lawn. As a conversation with a colleague, or as we walk to the station in the morning, we are unique and God will speak to us in a unique way. The Apostle John was actually in prison, couldn't go anywhere, when he had the revelation that turned into that famous book of the Bible. And Elizabeth was just at home when she met up with Mary and prophesied about the birth of Jesus. So we need to look for God in the ordinary. Secondly, we need to make space to tune in. We're all in different seasons of life. Parents with young children may struggle to get a minute to themselves. Those in full-time work find themselves short of time and energy. And even retired people, I'm told, can be very busy. But God is not limited by what we're doing or where we are. As Jesus shows us in the Gospels, it's really important to make a conscious decision to withdraw in some way to listen to God. We have to be intentional about making time and space for him. to listen for his voice from Scripture, to pray and to be quiet, to hear what he has to say, not just speak to him. It can be difficult to carve out the time, but it's a sacrifice worth making. We might need a babysitter or to give up doing something else. If I used all the minutes that I spend looking at Facebook, I would probably find I have quite a lot more time to pray. It can be really helpful to have a Christian friend to keep us accountable, to set ourselves a goal and ask them to remind us to stick to it. Recently, I've started wearing a hearing aid on one side. It was becoming increasingly difficult to understand what people were saying to me in certain situations. I could hear a noise, but not make out the words. Now things are a bit clearer. It was frustrating my family because I couldn't understand what people were always saying to me, and now it's clearer and sharper. How do we make sure that we're not just vaguely aware that God is there, like I was aware there was a voice, but not what they were saying, but are actually tuning into him? When you have a relationship with someone, you get to know how they're likely to act in any given situation. In fact, sometimes we can make assumptions, as I've been told. And this comes from the experience of observing them over a long period of time. To know how God views us and how he wants us to act, we need to have that relationship with him. And if you don't feel you have that, I'll be saying a prayer you can join in with in a few minutes' time. But as we all know, if we do not invest in our relationships, spend time together, they don't grow. It's the same with God. Where do our priorities lie? We may say we don't have time to come to church every week or to join a small group, but we always make time for the things we love. As Gavin and Anne Calver say, who wrote the book we're basing our series on, if you love something, you make room for it. What you prioritize, you always find time for. Lastly, when we hear God speaking, are we prepared to respond? Moses' response to God's challenge that day in verse 11 is, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And later in chapter 4, past the bit we read, he reels off a variety of excuses why he's not the man for the job, concluding in verse 13 when he comes out with, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Ever felt like that? But the answer God gives in our passage is that we need to remind ourselves whenever we're challenged to do something that we feel is beyond us, God is saying, "I will be with you." Later he says, "You and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt." We're never alone. God is always with us, and he will send human help too. Moses was to go with the elders, and we as a church family can cheer each other on as we face challenges in our lives. Is God calling you to do something new? Or just to go deeper with him and make him your priority? Moses could not have gone forward to do what he did, challenging Pharaoh again and again, if he'd not been equipped by that encounter with the living God. Jesus' disciples had their lives changed forever when they put down their fishing nets and got up to follow him. The Apostle Paul had a dramatic encounter on the road to Damascus when he met with Jesus, and that turned him from someone who murdered Christians to someone who spread the gospel all over Europe. Incredible things can happen when we look for God in the ordinary, make space for him to speak, and tune in to what he's saying to us, and then have the courage to act on it.